Praise God. We've been having a good time in the men's, studying about the Holy Spirit. And they were, and the discussions that take place. We had a, he's been there before, but a guy named Dave was there last night, and he was talking about how his favorite show now is The Voice. I guess, I don't ever watch it, but I guess it's got Michael Bublé and I don't know, all the judges, I guess. And I guess what happens if they like somebody, they turn around, is that what happens? There's just something about when you hear music coming out of a voice other than just like singing notes. You're actually hearing music. Something else is taking place. And I want to talk about our voice. We have a voice. And, you know, in the day that we live in right now, there's people called, how long has this been going on, this influencer thing? It's kind of recent, isn't it? It's kind of a, it's, huh? 10 years maybe? They're basically marketers is really what they are, right? Is that right? I mean, I'm really not into it a whole lot myself, but man, Kim, she's showing me some lady. I guess she just had her last little baby, and of course they have to glorify the people, you know, and how everything she, you know, shows, everybody buys it, it goes viral, and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it's. And people like that, the reason why they're that way, I mean, they don't make, I'm not buying anything off of these folks because I'm not impressed, you know. But how their voice gets a weight is when they become famous for it. You know, actually, in ministry a lot of times, it's amazing to me how somebody that everybody has lifted up to some degree, when they speak, it seems like for some reason they listen a little bit more. You know what I mean? What's that? I know. That's because I'm famous here. I'm famous in this place. I'm famous in this place. Mighty me. Everything, you know, because we've talked a lot about words. The power of our words is so powerful, is so amazing. But I want to look at not just words, but actually our voice. Because there's something else that has to do with voice. It has to do with intonation. It has to do with familiarity, right? And that's why these influencers influence is because you're familiar with them, and you start to like them, and it seems like it's all happening out of Waco, all the wackos, that's what, right? That's where a lot of this stuff's coming from. Anyway, you know, and I was thinking about like this. I've got a big dog that I feel bad because I taught him how to retrieve out behind our back fence before they knocked all the cedar trees down. And thing is, he's a natural retriever, but he doesn't want to bring it back to me, you know? And there's a tendency for me to get mad because he can hear me. He knows what I'm saying. He knows my voice. So I didn't have any, like, remote thing, shocker, or anything like that. So guess what I did? I threw a rock at him. And all it took was a couple times of nailing him with a rock. And now he can act like I'm not even there. But if he sees me bend down, all of a sudden he hears my voice. You know? But here's the thing that's really interesting is Braden. Well, look, he likes to vocalize. He likes, he's back behind the fence back there, and he likes to be loud sometimes. And I can just open the door and say, "Tebow, be quiet," you know. And he'll look at me and he'll want to bark, but he won't. because I'm bending down to get a rock. No. But somehow, I guess that action actually helps him understand my voice too. But it doesn't matter. Kim can holler at him all she wants, and her voice is saying the same words, but it doesn't have the same effect because it's a different voice. Does that make sense? Same thing with Braden. He can be saying the same words. And so I want to look at this because I believe that we have, God has enabled us with not just words. And I think with religion, we can get into just words. There's this precious guy that was in the church when I was growing up. And it was right when we were getting into the word of faith. And so Brother Hagin, you know, I remember listening to the first cassette of Brother Hagin back in, man, it might have been the middle 70s or something like that. But it was about the word of God. If God says it, that's how it is, right? And I remember this guy used to follow me around the church, and he had those index cards, you know. And man, he was saying, Steve, you have to memorize. You have to be saying these words, these scriptures. And it, getting the word in us is so important. But there's something we talked about in the men's last night, and it's not so much us knowing about God or even knowing his scriptures. It's about him knowing us so that our voice becomes not just our voice, but it's actually God's voice, not just his words, but his voice. And so there's another element that has to take place with regard to that. So let me just go through some things. I got some scriptures as usual, and we'll blaze through this quick. All right, this will be good. Amen. Aren't you glad you're here? Don't you feel bad for anybody that's not here? Say, oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That didn't mean to make you feel bad. Okay. So three elements of this. Influence is made by voices. And it's not just information, but knowing the voice that speaks, okay? So these are some of the elements that we're going to look at with regard to a voice. The voice may speak another message that is effective for the realm of influence that is known. So there's an ability for a spokesperson. It's like, if you can hear Dennis Quaid, his voice, for some reason, you think, I'm going to buy whatever he's selling. Because, you know, I like the guy. He just did Reagan, you know? It's like, but, you know, you can identify that voice. And it's like, and so that's how they market stuff. They'll take a movie star, somebody that you're familiar with, and they might not give a diddly squat about the thing they're selling. But because it's their voice, you're going to accept the message that they're giving also, right? The message source is critical for the influence that will be made. And you have a voice. So it's important, though, that the source of what's coming out of us is actually not just information, but it's actually the Holy Spirit. And then we have a voice. And so what kind of is the motivator for me in this right now is it just seems like sometimes, do we even have a voice in what's going on, you know? And it can feel that way for personally, but in our nation, you know, and the things that are going on right now, I guess I'm just really motivated by a lot of this stuff that's going on right now. And we do have a voice, but we have to make sure that it's not just our voice. But the source is coming from some place that is actually really powerful. And we're going to look at some good elements about this. Again, I've put together some verses here. And I believe it's going to, we'll just believe for the Holy Spirit to help us see some things. Amen. It'll be powerful for us. Father, we love you so much tonight. Lord, we thank you that you're our guide. And actually, you are the source of anything that comes up out of us, Lord God, that will be beneficial to anybody. Lord, you said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Lord, we pray that it wouldn't just be abundance of information, but it would be an abundance of relationship. So, Father God, that there's a familiarity with you that is communicated through us, Lord God. And Lord, we just desire to have some revelation with regard to that. And Lord, we desire to be heard, to be an influencer in this world that we're in, Lord God, and not just to sit back and let things happen, but Lord, that you've given us a voice, and it's not just some sound waves, but it's a creative force that is sourced in you. And Lord, help us to see this, we pray, and give us revelation and give us motivation and inspiration, Lord, to be your voice in this world today. We give you thanks for it. So I'm just going to look at some elements. And there's how many have actually heard the audible voice of God? I just never have. Wouldn't that be hunky-dory? That would, like, really be good, right? But I'll tell you, sometimes I get a little suspicious of people that saying they're hearing it all the time. Because even in the Old Testament, it wasn't all that common, right? Or the New Testament. But he does speak. But I want to look at an aspect of what this is, because a lot of times, I've got a few examples here. We'll just go through them. But the issue, even like remember Paul was knocked off his horse and all the guys around him and himself, he's hearing what? A voice. It's not something that's familiar. They're saying, what is this? They were afraid of this voice. So God is speaking. I believe he can speak audibly. But it's kind of like Jesus saying, I have to go away so that the Comforter can come, so that the whole world can experience me. It's like just the audible voice of God is not going to be enough. There's something that happens when there's a familiarity with the source of that voice. So what happened with Paul, and Paul had to work this out because he was seen as a terrorist, right? And so he nobody wanted to hear his voice initially. But he was able to communicate in a way that was the voice of God, that just God showing up. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just come to church? Where are you going to on this Sunday? Well, I'm just going to go hear God. Well, actually, I believe we do, right? But we're not hearing the audible voice of something that we can't see. So anyway, I want to look at it that he does do this, but why doesn't he do it all the time? And I believe it has this aspect of something that we can get encouraged with, is that God has put us on the earth with a realm of influence that is ours, that he expects our voice to not just be saying wonderful, you know, fluffy things all the time, but actually he expects our realm of influence to be his realm of influence. Does that make sense? Okay. The Father's voice directly spoken. So I'm just going to go through these examples real quick because I think it's important to see that he can do this, but he chooses something else, right? Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form and like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? That's pretty cool. We'll get the replay. We'll get to experience a little bit. I believe it'll be virtual replays. Wouldn't that be cool? Have virtual replays? Actually get to experience the actual place and the smells and everything. That'd be kind of cool, right? And to hear the voice of God like that, how amazing. So he did speak, but nobody recognized this voice. It was just a big, scary voice. It might have been, who's that guy that was a scar on the line? James Earl Jones is the voice, right? He just passed away, didn't he? Just this year, I think. Anyway. But yeah, something like that. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The voice thundered affirmation. This was an interesting time when Jesus was, he was talking about how he was going to, His soul was actually troubled about this. He talked about this quite a bit, didn't he, before he's crucified with his disciples? And they're just oblivious. They're still thinking there's going to be some kind of earthly kingdom or something. And he's talking about being crucified. And he says, my soul was troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He said, save me from it. But in the middle of it, this is why I'm here. So, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. A voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. His name, right? Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, and this is cool. He says, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Isn't that interesting? It was something that he was familiar with. He spent time talking to his father. I believe he was able to commune with his father to the point. And I believe it should be this way. That we, you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And spending time praying in the Holy Spirit and having that communion with him. It should be that we're like Jesus. An audible voice actually does take place. And we say, well, I'm glad I heard that, but I didn't need to hear that because I'm communicating with him all the time. It's so familiar to me, it can be audible or not, right? Because that's how it should be for us. All right, let's go to Acts 11:9. It says, three times the voice countered religious indoctrination. So in this case, Peter... Remember, he's up on the top of the rooftop and has a dream, and he's supposed to eat all this stuff that he's not supposed to. I mean, he's told to. And this voice actually speaks to him three times audibly and says, go ahead and don't you call unclean what I'm calling clean. And he's defying indoctrination that he's had since he was a child. But the significance of that voice speaking to him, how important that was, okay? Let's go to Luke 9:28. And this is a wonderful story. I'll try to just draw a few things out from it really quick. Remember, I believe it's related in at least three of the Gospels, where they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and... Jesus appears. Oh, who were they? Was it Elijah and Moses? Yeah, it was Elijah and Moses. Appears with Jesus. Let me go ahead and just read this. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. It's like, how do you fall asleep? When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with them. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So what is he doing? He's just talking out of his head, isn't he? What's really interesting is how this guy that is talking a bunch of nonsense and being embarrassed in front of everybody, he's going to be the one that has the first message after the day of Pentecost. Isn't that cool? That it's really indicative of the source. And this is talking to the source of what our voice is coming from. It's not enough to just be saying something. And he gets a clue here real quick. Then a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. When the voice finished, Don't you like that? The voice, the voice, the voice. Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. If I was Peter, I wouldn't want to tell anybody that ever again. It's like, just really quick. I think it was Scott, posted this real estate agent from Wisconsin. This lady, she's kind of heavy set, and she's telling about how she'd just been showing this house. And she had a dress on, and she was following this guy around the house explaining it and pointing out things. And for some reason, she tripped on a blade of grass or something, and her dress went up over her head. And she's telling about it. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't ever tell this. You know? And she's just laughing and just laughing. She's telling it in detail. I mean, you just can't help but laugh. I'll send it to you if you're interested. But it's just really funny. But I'm thinking, Peter, man, I would never want to be telling anybody about that. Because when God speaks, you want to listen to what his voice is saying. But here's what's really cool, again, is when he wants to speak, his voice is going to be the one that can be heard through you. I believe this is a big part of where Jesus said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And what is that power? I believe it's a power to be his voice. It's to not just know the information about him, but in the moment that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a feeling of a knowing of Jesus that transcends everything else and changes your voice. It did for Peter. This guy that was talking nonsense out of his own head all of a sudden gives the message of the gospel, and has the greatest altar call ever, right? Isn't that cool? Okay, let's keep going. The message of his voice through influencers. So we see that God wants to speak directly, but he also wants to speak through people. Amen? John's familiar voice and personality carried the Father's message. So Mark 1:3 says, he is a voice. This is talking about John the Baptist, right? Shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Now, what was it about John that was different than God just saying, this is my beloved son, hear what he has to say? Or, you know, about the audible voice of God. I believe that God has designed it that because of our personalities, because of our giftings, and I believe John was already familiar to a lot of these people. He already had a reputation, right? He was already an influencer. So when he went out and began to speak, people listened to what he had to say. Is that right? But it wasn't just what he was saying. It was who he was. Isn't that cool? It doesn't just say that he was a minister. It says he was a voice. It was who he was. He represented this message. Isn't that amazing? You know, actually, you can go back to his conception. Was he the one, or was it Jesus that leaped within their belly when they heard the voice? It was him, wasn't it? Yeah. When he heard the voice of Mary, is that right? Is that how it was? Yeah. Yeah. The message must come. Let's go to Acts 19. We'll get through this. The message must come from a voice of the Spirit, not just natural influence. Acts 19:13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." What you could, you know, man, I I saw some revelation on this, just with saying in the name of Jesus is not magic. It's not something you can just tag on the end of something you want to have happen and declare now, because I said in the name of Jesus that it's going to happen. I see that that's kind of what's happening with these hoodlums here, right? We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's kind of like saying in his name, right? Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? Isn't that interesting? I mean, they were people. They were using the name of Jesus. But they didn't. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. So it didn't matter what was coming out of their mouth. It was not influencing. In fact, then the man with whom the Holy Spirit, whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Man, that kind of turned against them, didn't it? This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Isn't that interesting? It was magnified how? By those who really knew him. There's a running to the name of Jesus when you're running away from the things that are facades and everything else. Amen? Okay. So it must, that voice must have its source in the spirit and not just a method. Man, I'm not going to go there. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. Praying in the spirit enables prophesying in the understanding. So, This passage out of 1 Corinthians a lot of times is used to discount praying in other tongues, saying that it's not really necessary, that everything is just about prophetic and for the congregational, for there to be revelation that is imparted. And he doesn't ever really say that. He says, but if you're going to speak in another tongue, make sure that if you're in a congregation, that it becomes something that is enabling them. Now, I saw in these two verses, though, and this is something that I've always been impressed with, is how are you ever going to speak by the Spirit if you're not full of the Spirit?
Yeah, that's true.
How are you going to be prophetic if you're not even full of the source? It's going to be your head that's speaking. And man, I don't know about you, but I've heard some of that. That's why I think Paul was talking to me when he says, don't despise some of these things. Because I've grown up in times, it's not my parents, but anytime you open up things to the Holy Ghost, people want to glory in just a gift and being able to say something. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's like John said last night, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you're saying, thus saith the Lord, and it's not, it needs to be the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? But I believe that praying in the Spirit actually enables the source of encouragement and exhortation to actually be by the Spirit. That you can actually, man, you cannot lean on your own understanding when it comes to encouraging somebody. Just what feels good for you. Because there's a lot of natural wisdom, but it's not going to be what they need if it's just coming out of your head. And how do you get to where it's not just coming out of your head? Well, you're going to have to pray from a source that is the Spirit and is not your head. You're going to have to get familiar with that, right? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, just that verse right there is a real key. If you're gonna develop the ability for your spirit to be the thing that is being heard, you have to pray in the Spirit. Is that right? Because you don't want your understanding to get in the way. What you're speaking to somebody doesn't need to be your understanding. It needs to be the Spirit. Amen? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. And here is a key, though, to not just glory in the spiritual things, but to actually say, okay, what is the purpose of this? I want to get built up in the Spirit, but the purpose of me being built up in the Spirit is so that somebody can be blessed in an understanding. There needs to be that taking it to the next level where, and this is the voice side that we're looking at here tonight. God wants to use our voice. But for our voice to be actually his voice, we're going to have to be praying in the Holy Ghost. So that what's coming out, its source, its inspiration, is coming from something that is very familiar. Again, how do you know a voice? Because you've been from hearing that voice. You've been exercising that voice. That voice has actually been coming through you. There's something that happens with an extended period of praying in the Holy Ghost. Is your voice is getting connected to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And actually, it becomes a familiar thing that, wow, when I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit's speaking. Amen? And then when you go into understanding, that same connection can be made. And you can have confidence in it. Because now I'm not leaning on my own understanding here. I've spent more time praying in without my understanding than I have with my understanding. So now, when I go to speak, it's not just going to be what I think is good coming out. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I thought those two verses together really helped bring that out. You know, that man, we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. And he says that. I will pray in both. But there's a necessity for praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. A couple more things here. So we have three different elements of this. What did I have? Praise God. God speaking, where he actually speaks audibly, right? Then he speaks through men. But then there's this unity that takes place when you got one voice. When you get joined up together with a body that is speaking the same things, that there's a multiplication, there's a magnification of the power of that voice. Okay, get back to where I was. So it's a voice of unity. Around one voice, you can gain power and purpose. So John 10, 16. Remember John 17 also, he talks about, may they be one as you and I are one, right? There's a lot of the unity things that happen. But what is the purpose of unity? There's something that happens when you have a unified voice. When there's voices saying different things, man, it gets confusing. But when you have a unified voice, and if you're praying from that same spiritual source, what's going to come out is a unified voice. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I believe he's talking about Gentiles, for one thing. But I thought it was cool. He said, what this is going to be when you're hearing the one voice, I believe it's from Scripture, but I also believe it's by the Spirit. You know what? Revelation of the Scripture requires fullness of the Spirit, I believe. Amen? But what I like about this is he doesn't say, so there'll be a bunch of islands that are unto themselves, right? He talks about this unity. Man, it's such a passion of the Father. That to be one, to be joined with his voice, to follow after his voice, is to become one with his flock. Amen? And he is the shepherd of that flock. Revelations 12:10. Power against evil's voice is voice declarations of an experience of Jesus' blood. So, now let's read this out of Revelation. We're familiar with this, but I see how there's this necessity for the voice to be involved in our overcoming. Amen. You know, you can take this into, there were so many other aspects of this faith, you know, being able to walk in faith. Our voice gets involved again. But let's look at Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a what? A loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren. What is that? That's a voice, isn't it? Man, there's so many voices in the world today, aren't there? And they're all accusing voices. They're all trying to bring somebody down, aren't they? For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And how is he cast down? And they overcame him, not just by saying in the name of Jesus. It wasn't just that, was it? It wasn't just a religious formula. It was something that was actually done legally that established it as something we can go on. The blood of Jesus? I mean, from that, we have a foundation. But it's not just the blood of Jesus, it's the experience of that. So what the experience of the deliverance, of the salvation that the blood of Jesus gives us, what the experience of that does is it causes there to be, this is not just a throwing out there of the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead. No, it's not repetitions that makes it happen, right? It's the abundance of the heart overflowing with the reality of a life that has experienced it. What is that? That's a testimony, isn't it? Now, I can tell you about that. I experienced that. Amen? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This is something that Christ has done for everybody. But who does it become effective for? The ones that don't just let it be there for them, but they let their voice become a projection of a proclamation of its reality in their life. And by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. This is actually how we overcome. There has to be an activated voice of what we've encountered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I like this perspective of voice over just words. Because what the voice implies is an experience, is a familiarity. I've been there. I know this. Amen? And the voice of experience is so much better than the voice of study, of just knowing about. Amen? And it says, this is actually how we overcome. Okay, I've got one more. I'm just going to read through it here. Acts 4:24. When voices join together, there's a compounding influence that welcomes the Spirit's moving. So when they heard that, okay, remember this is the disciples were getting imprisoned. They were being told not to preach the gospel. They were saying, you cannot do this. And it was interesting that the body joined together. Now, this is kind of an interesting, it's kind of an elaborate prayer that they prayed, but they all prayed it together. And look what the result of this was. How many would love to have a move? We sang about this, the first song, about a move of the Spirit. We want God to move, don't we? There's such a power, a compounding power, when we all get in the Spirit together and begin to be praying those same things together. Amen? Even as many as are here right now, we can do it. Amen? We don't have to get discouraged by numbers, but we are encouraged by the source of what we have. So when they heard that, they heard about the threatenings that were being made, they raised their voice to God. They did what? They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. They raised him together in unity. Why? Because they were living in the Spirit together, and they had that same heart that was coming from the same inspiration by the Spirit. Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? You know what's really cool about this is they go right into praising God. They go right into magnifying him. Man, they have some terror coming against them. They have some threatenings coming against them. But what do they first of all do? And this is what the unity of in the Spirit will always do. It'll begin to magnify God, first of all. It'll begin to lift him up. Because there's no getting over something if you're under it. You know, if you're magnifying it, it's hard to get over it, right? Who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, and this is the part, look on their threats. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may do what? Keep speaking your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your Lord Jesus, your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, the place they were assembled together. There's a necessity of being assembled together. The place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It brought their voice together, and it caused a compounding of the power of God when they came together and prayed this together. Amen? And especially in the face of things that seem to be perilous, there's an opportunity to rise up and to have a voice that is unified in the Spirit and comes before God and says, God, in the midst of this, we magnify you above it, and we receive the power. We know you're there already. We know that you're already capable. We know that you've already provided. You've already won the battle. But there's something about getting our voice activated. Amen. Did Lindsay talk about voice activated something? Was that the name of her sermon when we were gone? It seemed like it was something like that. Something activated. Anyway, I don't know, this just came to mind. Motion activated, there we go. But there's some things that are just voice activated too, right? And the shaking of that place happened when they activated their voices. And it was together. They didn't just wait for one person to do it. We get in the Spirit. We're all going to be in this together. Amen.